Hello, the internet, and welcome to Season 72, Episode 5 of Der Daily Zeitgeist, the podcast where we take a deep dive into America, nay, the world's shared consciousness for this day. It's Friday, March 8th, 2019. My name's Jack O'Brien, a.k.a.
It seems today that all you see, Benghazi in the headlines and Trump on TV. But where are those I can get the hot takes on which we used to rely? Lucky there's a Daily Zeitgeist. Lucky there's a podcast, second rate but not less. Collective unconscious every time. He is Jack O'Brien.
Thank you. Thank you. That is courtesy of Michael Hill. Really did it at Miga Salo. And I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Miles, the second-rate co-host, lives by the sea and frolics in the gray mist in a land called TDZ. I wish there were more weed references in that AKA, but we can't win. Thank you so much to at Blue Eye Delta. I hope you're not living in sin.
Whoa.
Yeah, you know, that's just
improvise that last part.
Yeah, you know, it's just it's a gift I have when I'm over-caffeinated.
Yeah.
Just coming off the
high. I thought you were going to say we can't win them all, but you said we can't win, which was a very bleak note to end on.
Yeah, I know.
Not to, you know, criticize your improvisation.
No, no, I think
it was a beautiful
anything,
song.
Look, just don't psychoanalyze my lyrics, man.
Right,
like you've been doing the last 3 days with every song from 1999.
Right. Oh, man. I have one foot in today's zeitgeist, but another foot in the zeitgeist of 1999 because we have our live show coming up this weekend at Dynasty Typewriter where we are going deep into the year 1999 for the first time.
Few tickets left.
Are there?
Yeah.
Wow.
I think they made
LA
a couple more available.
Yes, there are a few tickets left, and this is your only shot to get to see our thoughts on the zeitgeist of 99 because we don't publish these.
Yeah, for good reason. This is magic, okay? If you want to experience it, you have to pull up IRL and get these facts, get these takes, and get this energy. And there's only one way to see this is by buying a ticket. So don't be foolish.
Go do it.
Come
fucking
through.
Up.
It's Saturday night.
Yeah.
And it's a party. And
it is.
The fucking place is going to be packed.
We're going to party literally like it's 1999.
Oh, wow.
In the sense that I won't be able to drink. None of us will be.
And I will be smoking my mom's half cigarette butts.
There you go. Well, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the co-host of one of our recent live shows and the co-host of the amazing podcast Culture Kings and just an all-around hilarious dude, Mr. Jacques Neal.
Baby, I compare you to a Jacques from a rose on the gray.
Ooh.
Ooh, the more I get of you, stranger it kneels, yeah. Now that your roses in bloom, a light's hit the groom on the grave.
Oh, who is that from? At Fed_bot sent that to me in October. I told him I would use it. I did. What's up, y'all?
You certainly did.
I did.
Man, you had a great voice.
Oh, bless your heart.
I noticed that every once in a while in Culture Kings, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, when they take it to church?
Uh-huh.
We took it to church.
And I'm like, what?
Guys,
Pastor Neil come from.
Yeah.
It is become like one of my go-to characters now. Is I'm loving it.
You fleecing people for their money too?
I'm saving people. If anybody out here needs saving, you need some hands laid on you in a truly spiritual way. Mm. My Venmo is at Jacques Neal. I sound like Lacey
very
now.
Catholic of you.
It sounds like yes.
Also, offering to lay hands on in a spiritual way sounds very priesty.
It does. There's no good way to say that. If you just need some spiritual healing,
there you go.
Spiritual healing. My
you
child.
Know.
Then step into my confessional.
Yes.
Jacques, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment.
Again.
First, we're going to take our listeners through just a couple of things we're talking about today. We're talking about the march of progress. The cord has been cut. The mall has been abandoned, or at least we're well on our way. We're going to look at how the Oversight Committee is doing. Freshmen and progressives rallying behind Omar Ilhan Omar.
Oh, not Omar from The Wire?
Not Omar from The Wire, okay. Although he is coming.
Hell yeah.
We are going to talk about that J. Mayer article in The New Yorker because I finally read it. I read slow, guys. It takes me like 7-8 days to read a New Yorker article.
Yeah, sometimes you read slow, sometimes you read quick.
Mm-hmm.
You were on 125 in St. Nick.
Waiting on a cab.
Named Tondalea.
And we're also maybe going to talk about some Disney stuff since we have number one Disney bitch in the house.
Shit.
As they refer to.
It's the only reason I'm here, guys.
That's right.
Talk about Disney.
But first, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history that is revealing about who you are?
All right. So there's a little app on the cellular device that is called Who Wants to Be a Millionaire?
Uh-huh.
And they give you 30 seconds to answer each question, right? Mm-hmm. And you get the coins and everything like that. And listen, nobody's going to mistake me for a smart guy. You know, I'm educated.
You look a little bit like Taj Mowry.
Do I? Oh, yeah. Oh, I'll be that smart
the
guy.
The smart guy.
T and Tamara are my sisters. But you know, I know a little something, but out of the 15 questions they ask you, about 9 to 10 of them, you're like, I have no fucking clue.
Right.
So what I do is, as soon as I get the question, I like switch over my app to Google.
There you go.
And type the question in.
Of course.
And cheat.
Yeah.
And then go back, and I only have about 3 seconds before I can answer the question. And most of the time, I run out of time. But when I don't, it takes me all the way to $1 million. And I've been a millionaire at least 3 times.
Is there any actual, there's no real prize aside from like,
no.
You've done it.
That's
so it's not like HQ or whatever.
No, it's not HQ.
Are you competing like against other people or is it just
you do
computer?
Compete against other people.
Oh, good.
You compete against other people. So I'll be cheating people out of their.
Not like on demand, like you'll have to wait. They'll be like, oh, the next round is starting in 3 minutes or something.
Right.
You hop in. Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Right. So yeah, I'd be listening.
So what'd you Google?
The last thing I Googled? The $1 million question.
Let's see if Miles and I can get it.
All right. So hold on. Let's see. It was, what is
Panera bread?
That's right.
Yes. Wow.
Damn.
Yeah.
What country did my searches?
What country did what company did Obon Pon merge with in 1999? No, I'm sorry.
Panera bread. Did you know they used to be called St. Louis bread?
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They were St. Louis first. It was about something about torque. It was like, what is torque normally used for?
Torque,
T-O-R-Q-U-E.
The motorcycle movie.
Yeah. No, apparently it was something for either hair or neck. It was like an article of clothing, right?
Oh, really?
I didn't know what the fuck that was.
Wait, so what? A torque is for your neck?
I guess so. No, it was for, it was for your neck.
Okay.
I got it wrong.
A necklace.
Wrong. Yeah.
Oh, that's called a torque?
Yeah, but let me see what it is. Let me see.
Just like a rigid metal hoop?
That's
like, not
what
like
is.
Your usual links that make up a neck
got
chain.
Got it.
Yeah.
Wow. Shout out to Torx. Shout out to the jewelers out there.
Shout out to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire for teaching
us.
Yeah.
That's where I get all my education is from Who Wants to Be a Millionaire.
Listen, I'm smarter now than I was last month.
Yeah. What is something you think is underrated?
Guys, welcome to Jack Hayes' Corner. can I be cheesy for a little bit?
Yes, please.
Let me tell you, man, these recent episodes of Culture Kings.
I think it's
pretty underrated. We've been doing some crazy creative shit. Not all the time,
right.
But every once in a while, we'll hit you with like some black soap operas, or mm-hmm. we'll just straight up do a church episode.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We did some game shows, some celebrity drafts. We got something coming out tomorrow, a late night show. Just like taking risks and doing dope shit. I think that
rewriting scripts.
Yeah. So. Listen, man, if you used to listen to CK and then you left or you don't, just check out some of the
Enter
recent
the
episodes.
Kingdom. Enter the kingdom, y'all.
Enter the kingdom. I think
the return of the kings.
I think we're taking some big ass comedy swings that.
Yeah,
that if you don't listen to, you racist.
There
exactly.
you go.
And there's also that. no, but I totally agree.
Prove you're an ally by subscribing now.
Yeah.
Crushing.
Yeah.
What is something you think is overrated? The Daily Zeitgeist.
The Daily Zeitgeist. I don't think the Daily Zeitgeist is overrated. The Daily Zeitgeist is underrated, y'all. But long lovemaking sessions.
Wow. Overrated.
Overrated,
yes.
Y'all.
You getting old, huh?
As quickly as possible.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Listen. Listen. I. You know, look. the
What you talking
before?
About? You want to come?
What you talking about? You want to come? Huh? Yeah, shit. You can't come before an episode of SpongeBob go off. You ain't coming.
Right.
You know, 11 minutes. That's what you get.
The like, show that people most often make love to.
SpongeBob.
You not?
SquarePants.
You not?
I'm not saying
that. You know, who lives in the pineapple under the sea, y'all?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I just, you know, listen, like, I like a good long session as much as anybody, but, you know, sometimes it's, and I'm not talking about the whole session. Like, you know, if you got the foreplay going and the kissing and
even
all that.
Five play.
You know, do your thing. But the actual act, man, that shit ain't got to be an hour. You ain't got to be beating it up
What's
for an
going
hour.
On? Why are you, is it that the fatigue?
The fatigue, man. My back be hurting.
Yeah.
Back hurting, all right? What's underrated is free back pain. No back pain.
Yeah.
I notice the more I sit, man, I can't, the less.
Yeah.
The less energy I have in bed.
You're having so less energy.
I'm getting old, bro. I need getting to, old. I think I just need to spike my testosterone.
I think that's what
so
it is.
So I can
is.
Get 19 again.
It's, but I think know, it's low T.
You know, Ask Her Majesty, very satisfied customer.
Yeah, man, you know, I'm saying this.
I was like, if you're not coming after this 5-second film video on YouTube,
right,
we're done.
Damn, you limited to the ads. You don't even limit it to the whole ads. You limited to
I'm
when
like,
the
skip ad.
Yeah,
you better
on.
Skip that ad.
What is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know to be false?
Oh, so, wrestling is fake. Here's what I mean by that.
The injuries
people think
are
that's true.
Real.
Here's what I think. People think that's true,
right?
And it's not true. It is the furthest from the truth. Now, wrestling, the actual program of wrestling is scripted,
right?
Which is inherently fake.
Yeah, yeah.
But
yeah.
The way that people say it's fake is not that same way. Like nobody watches a TV show and be like, "Man, you know that? You know they ain't real cops, right?" Like, you know, nobody watches that. Nobody does that shit.
You know that little boy actually didn't get kidnapped. Right,
right. Right. You know he ain't get kidnapped.
Why are you
right?
so worried then?
Yeah. You know Captain Marvel can't really fly. Like,
wait,
yeah,
what?
Dude, I know. Really? Damn.
Not
I know
Captain
that.
Marvel.
It. And so here's something that I always go back to. You can't fake a fall.
Right.
That's like, true. You just can't.
Yeah.
Like, you ain't fake falling. When these dudes are jumping off of the ropes and jumping off of ladders and cages and shit.
And falling from
their
the rafters
bodies,
and dying.
Yeah, that yeah. too. Their bodies are hitting the ground, dude.
Yeah.
It's scripted. It's stage combat. So it's not like they're out there actually beating people's asses. Like, but the whole is fake thing.
Right.
Nah, man.
I watched that 1999 I Quit Royal Rumble match between Mankind and
The Rock. Yep.
And you tell me that shit is fucking fake.
He was mad, dude. He had to go back and get stitches.
Yeah.
He stopped not selling.
Right.
I remember that, dude. It was beyond the mat.
Yeah.
Mankind started not selling. So The Rock was hitting this dude in the head with a real steel chair.
Jesus.
And Mankind had to go to the back and have like 20 stitches.
Right.
This dude has had his tooth popped out of his fucking lip.
Yeah.
I mean.
Mick Foley, man.
Mick Foley.
But
crazy.
You want to look at some. You tell Mick Foley wrestling. Look yeah. at look at his body.
He can barely like.
He can barely walk.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, is he like that now?
He can barely walk.
I'd imagine everyone, because like Stone Cold's knees are like just vaporized.
Yeah, dude.
And back, yeah.
Yeah, these people, yes, they aren't actually fighting.
Yeah, yes, it's not an actual competition in which we don't know who will win. Yes, maybe
yeah,
that is
yes.
predetermined.
That's predetermined. That's the scripted
of,
part.
Yeah.
But they are athletes, and they are putting their body through a rigorous activity
that
can't be faked. So.
And also, there's some amazing stories about the like them having to stay in character after.
Right.
Like
yeah.
after the show is over, which yeah. is an amazing thing to think about. If like all actors had to pretend off
to
stage, like
character.
That they were that character
for very small pay and
yeah,
no consideration for their health after.
There's these two dudes in the 80s who got into a car accident and had to like stay in character, and they like publicly people thought they hated each other even though they were like best friends.
Yeah.
Right.
And so like when the police came, they had to act like they weren't cool with each other.
Then they got arrested for fighting.
Right.
They got arrested for fighting, and then they went to jail and never saw it, never be seen
again.
Wait,
who was it?
I forget. It was, I don't.
I just love that idea of like, like cops are like,
what is that called? Kayfabe or something?
It's called kayfabe. Kayfabe is slowly dying in the new, what they call reality.
What's kayfabe?
Kayfabe is you don't drop the act.
Oh, gotcha. Yeah. Wait, why is it called that?
I don't know.
Okay. Like, it's just like Latin, or is it literally like K and fa- what the fuck?
It's something that some wrestling promoter created like 50 years ago.
Right. I'm sure it's like from the Carnival Barker days or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But yeah, you're not, especially back in the 80s and 90s, you were never supposed to drop kayfabe.
Right.
Which is funny because you had so much less access to these wrestlers, right?
Right.
Where now you have so much more access, and like, their social media is just like a blend between their real life and kayfabe, and
right.
So it's weird. It's a weird blend now, but
right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Shout out to kayfabe.
Yeah. Shout out to kayfabe, y'all.
KAYFABE.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to search it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, other things that are moving along. We used to have to only see our wrestlers on TV once a week on Raw, and now we can follow them 24 hours a day.
Yeah.
On social Nitro. Media. And same deal with accessing our favorite televised programming. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, the cord has been officially cut.
It would well appear, and truly cut.
Because the numbers, we're learning this because of the numbers for pay TV subscribers versus cable subscribers, right?
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, the whole idea of cable or cord cutters used to be like hippie people or just like people who were like against the establishment, like, I'm not paying for my corporate entertainment. And now right. as people become like have less money to just throw away on like $80 a month on cable, you know, people like streaming more. And the streaming has now sort of led to like this other form of cord cutting where people just don't want to, you know, give their money to Spectrum or whoever.
Because right.
we know how reliable that is. But yeah, they went from... In 2018, 2.9 million pay TV subscribers ended their subscriptions. And damn. So that's almost twice what it was in 2017 when it was 1.5 million.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people, you know, there's like Sling TV or DirecTV Now, which they call skinny bundles mm-hmm. to try and like keep people still on the hook. But even then, that's not really offsetting the deserters.
Yeah. So they had these skinny bundles that they introduced in 2017, and there was like 90% growth year over year. But then in 2018, a lot of people probably lost their job at those cable companies because it slowed from 90% growth to 19% growth.
Yeah, man. I had PlayStation View and I just cut it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't watch TV. I watch programs.
Right.
But I don't channel surf anymore.
Right, exactly. That's and like, that era's over.
That era's over. And let me tell you what the real cable bundle is. Your mom's password.
There you go.
That's what right. the real cable bundle. You know, because, you know, somebody in your family still got cable.
Right.
And all you need is just their login information, and you can now still get the apps. MTV.com,
VH1.com.
Yeah, that's the go. Real cable right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, it's funny. I found myself giving my dad my DirecTV Now thing, because he was like, I don't know how to watch this thing. And I'm like, let me help you out, bruh.
Let me help you out, bruh.
Now the child has become the parent. And that all happened yesterday after yesterday's episode when we made amends.
Right.
But yeah, I think, you know, the other thing too, that this whole thing, the growth of like streaming has also just created a huge clog in like awards competition too, because now there's so many people offering all kinds of like premium content. In 1992, for example, for the Emmys, there were 29 dramas and 50 comedies submitted for eligibility.
Mm-hmm.
In 2018, 159 drama contenders and 117 comedy entrants.
That's crazy.
They're going to need to start making the voting for this shit like a full-time job.
Yeah,
because yeah. How are, who's gonna? Shit?
Yeah, nobody's watching any of these things.
Yeah, it is too much TV on right now.
And which, Netflix. I just started watching fucking Umbrella Academy.
Bro,
shit is really good. But like, I didn't even.
Don't listen to Culture King next Monday.
It took so long for me to be like, all right, I got through Russian Doll. I got through all these other things. I'm like, now let me watch this. I'm actually pretty impressed so far. I've only seen like the first three episodes.
It's great.
I'm liking it.
It's nice. Great. That's the one thing that I do like about the streaming aspect is because there aren't advertisers, because the channel doesn't really go off. Like, there is no downtime for streaming services, right?
It's on demand, and the creators have more freedom.
Yeah, you get more freedom. So because of that, people are taking bigger swings.
Yeah.
And because you have to. But also, you're getting, like, really good fucking content where they don't have to ease into a story.
Right.
You can just get right into the fucking story. And it's pretty dope, man. It's pretty dope.
Another thing that's disappearing in addition to cable, is malls. Malls are...
Oh, my heart.
So this is actually heartbreaking,
I mean,
for me.
Yeah, so like we all knew malls were shutting down, but more stores have closed down in 2019 already than all of 2018 combined. It's just fallen off a cliff.
Yeah.
Like, it's over. Bro. So if you're looking for a good place to like hang out and tag some things, or you know, learn some skating tricks. Like,
what
go
mall were you going to?
Skateboarding. I don't know.
Like, and if you are black and not looking to get arrested at the mall,
or if you want to see a crazy fight at Foot Locker,
right. I feel like it's basically going to be the place to go start trash can fires now, and like just go urban exploring, because that's about it.
Well, yeah, I think, you know, Abercrombie Fitch, they're closing 40 stores already. Oh, they've announced, man. Victoria's Secret shutting down 53 stores. Gap is like 230 stores. JCPenney.
Damn.
So all those like traditional retail spaces, because most people shop online now.
230 stores.
Yeah. And I think, you know, a lot of people in that retail industry are saying, like, you can just expect record closures and record bankruptcies this year, because I think it's the year that we're really seeing how hard online sales is hitting, you know, brick and mortar stores. But they say the ones that are surviving still are like the big box stores like Walmart and Target.
Yeah.
Right. And then like the more like the H&Ms, the fast fashions, because a lot of the other
Expresses.
Older retailers, they didn't like quite keep up with these new fangled fast fashion places.
Right.
And also places that do more in-store experiences. And I don't even know, I can't tell you this last time I went to that an experience.
You know what? I had an experience at Express. No, that's a lie. Not Express.
Wet Seal.
Now, oh man, my experience at Wet Seal. What's the fucking store? Zara.
Uh-huh.
Where it was just like, I tried on a pair of jeans and they fit, man. It was a good ass experience. I was like, keep coming, man.
It's like, right? I like this. What's this place called?
Yeah,
because
what's this place
Zara's always too understaffed for anybody to help you like one-on-one and like put pressure on you. So I do prefer shopping at Zara than like a place that has enough staff to be like, so how are those working out for you?
Yeah, I'm like,
it's just like, yo, leave me alone.
Why don't you get the fuck out my face,
but
fam.
Yeah, it's brands like it's brands like Untuck It. Are thriving because that's a brand that...
it's like a gimmick.
Yeah, it's a gimmick, but it also started after like Amazon took over the world. So
yeah, but they're opening brick and mortar stores now.
Right,
who
but
is?
Like they're...
Untuck It.
I think it's brands that... And Bonobos is a similar thing where it's brands that started from the idea that, okay, we have to be a business that can work in a world where Amazon runs everything, and then we'll open brick and mortar as like icing on the cake rather than the cake being your brick and mortar, because then you're fucked.
I'm still not sure what exactly Untuck It is. I mean, I know it's their whole thing is like, hey, these are dress shirts that are designed to not be tucked.
Sick.
But every motherfucking dress shirt I buy or button up, I don't tuck, and I don't feel I'm like, damn. Should I be tucking this? So I'm not.
I think they look whack, and I think it's.
Oh.
Sorry,
wow.
I just do. Like For me, I don't think they're. Oh shit, maybe they'll advertise on our show sometime. But,
yeah. Call in and come on to Culture Kings, Untuck It.
I can't imagine shopping at a store where the whole thing is just like. Yeah, a gimmick.
Yeah,
that's like.
But here's the thing that's sad about it. I do like going to a mall.
Yeah,
it's just something about like a lot of stores being there. It's like two different kinds of energy. You got like the youthful energy, but then you also have just like the middle income energy, which is like very prevalent in my life. And I don't know, man. It just feels right.
It's like, nostalgic, too.
It's nostalgic.
You know, because who didn't go to a mall, at least like millennials, who grew up parents dropping you off at the mall and be like, here's my fucking playground, and I'll just fuck around at this mall.
Right.
I'll have like, you know, try and make $6 work all day.
You can ditch school there. It's the best, man. Nobody catching you if you go to the mall. You just got to get there.
Where are these kids going to ditch school?
Yeah,
exactly.
They're going to go in their VR headsets.
Right. All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And the Oversight Committee had a chance to talk to Christian Nielsen.
Yeah. Oh, well, this was the, I think, the Immigration and Border Security Subcommittee.
Okay.
Yeah, but, you know, just in general, now that the Dems control the House,
right,
they're really flexing that oversight muscle. And so, yeah, they had Reichstag Barbie, a.k.a. Christian Nielsen, you know, doing some splaining about this child separation policy. Because they're like, what? Like, when the Republicans were in power, they're like, yeah, fine, whatever. We don't need to know about this. Meanwhile, the Democrats are like, you know this is bad. You knew this was bad, yet you still do it. What the fuck is going on? And the whole thing was a little cringy because Kirstjen Nielsen was not really willing to actually ever answer a question straightforward, even if it was like the just like graphs showing data. They're like, "Is this is your number. This is what Trump said. Is one of these inaccurate? Like, which one's inaccurate?" She's like, well, I don't know. She just used a lot of semantic arguments to not give an answer. So, here's a moment where she's being pressed about whether or not she knew how traumatic this policy of child separation would be on a child.
When you officially began family separation in spring 2018, were you aware of research showing it causes trauma that can do immediate and long-term damage to children's health?
The information that I was aware of at the time was that the trauma is part of the journey to come up to the border illegally.
Okay, so again, we're looking for yes or no answers, ma'am.
That was what I do know within the context of the question.
Okay, and were you aware that the trauma of family separation is connected to something called toxic stress?
I'm not familiar with that term, no.
Okay, were you aware that toxic stress can actually change a child's brain because it's still developing?
I wasn't familiar with the term.
Okay, were you aware that the effects of these traumas are cumulative, that they get worse the longer the trauma goes on?
I'd like to clarify because we're missing a bigger point here, but yes, ma'am, I'm sorry. Respectfully, okay. I'll let me answer your questions.
Were you aware that the traumatic effects don't go away even if a child is reunited with their family?
I understand that they are, no.
Okay.
I mean, it's just painful, man. And that painful. was Lauren Underwood from Illinois questioning her.
Shout out.
Yeah. And it was just, again, she couldn't even admit that this is a terrible thing with saying, well, actually, the trauma comes from the journey.
Right.
And trying all these ways to sidestep any kind of accountability. And, you know,
what a wild take, too.
What is the thing that happens on the journey that's worse than being put in a cage and separated from your parents?
Yeah, well, that's when, and so Benny
the music,
Thompson.
The music right. They listening to?
Right.
Benny Thompson, the chairman of the Homeland Security Council, or committee, then asked her some questions as well because she was then trying to like regain time. She's like, can I actually just like clarify something? He was like, I'm not going to let you editorialize this.
Right.
He's like, we're here to ask you questions.
Right.
So this is another moment where she, you know, was feeling a little bit of pressure from the chairman.
Are we putting children in cages as of today?
Children are processed at the border facility stations that you've been at. Some of
and I've areas. Seen the cages. I just want you to know that the cages exist.
Sir, they're not cages.
What are they?
Areas of the border facility that are carved out for the safety and protection of those who remain there while they're being processed. If we have two gangs, we separate them into separate areas of that facility.
No.
If we have a father and daughter, we separate that from another son.
We're not going to go through the semantics. Now, I saw the cyclone fences that were made as cages. And you did too. All you have to do is admit it. If it's a bad policy, then change it. But don't mislead the committee. Do not mislead the committee.
Woo!
Ooh, I love old black
yeah,
man.
Yeah, old black man energy. now we're not gonna do all that. Right. When he say no, we're not gonna do all that.
Yep. Sir, you were there, and I saw the cages. What do you think I'm asking you for?
So they still in the cages or not? Sir, no. Nah, see, this is what we're not going to do. You mislead this committee. So, yeah, I'm glad that they're asking questions. Well, hopefully you can, again, to this day, this same policy is still being implemented. And, you know, she did not look, she did not hold up very well
she
in that.
She sounded awful. Who is
yeah,
that? Doesn't matter.
That was Kirstjen Nielsen.
Reichstag Barbie.
Yeah, Reichstag Barbie. And so then, again, let's pivot over to Elijah Cummings.
Yeah, this is just all the shit that we've spent the last year being like, is They're just going to get away with this?
Right.
So like now people are finally, slowly, the process is starting to unfold where right. they can ask about it.
So in this instance, the Elijah Cummings, the chairman of the Oversight Committee, announced that they want to look into the Georgia gubernatorial election now. And he's requested documents from Mr. Kemp, Governor Kemp, and the other interested parties about what the fuck happened over there, because everyone saw pretty plainly that there were a lot of fucking problems on election day for people trying, especially people of color, trying to vote in that election, where they said, you know, black voters had to wait in line for hours because they said, oh, we don't have enough voting machines
right.
to try and just stall people out. And
the guy who was overseeing the entire election, making sure that it was fair because he was the
Secretary of State.
Secretary of State. Yeah. Was running the election and would not recuse himself from running the election.
Exactly. And then when you look at the numbers, Stacey Abrams came within, 55,000 votes of winning and 18,000 from a runoff. So naturally, Elijah Cummings is asking provide communications related to, quote, voter purges. About them putting applications on hold or putting them in pending status, just all kinds of these other things, and also requests information regarding, quote, the ethical or legal obligations of simultaneously running for governor while overseeing state elections. Because, like, yeah, you're going to have to explain that. Like, tell me why you thought you didn't have to, you know, remove yourself from the right. situation. So, you know, oversight on its way.
Yeah.
But again, I don't want to get too excited about it, but I'm just glad that now we are in an environment where these kinds of things are being looked at and people
and
are having
about.
To. Yeah, and not just like glossed over and be like, oh, no, it's okay. It's okay. Yeah.
I mean, it is truly insane how much they think people don't have common sense, right? Of course we're going to, like, you think it's okay to run for office while also overseeing the election that
right.
you're running for?
Right.
Yeah.
Like, who without common sense wouldn't see why that's an ethical and moral issue?
Well, if you're an old white man.
Well, exactly.
You lived in a world where you could just do whatever the fuck you want, dude. So I think, there's a lot of... A lot of confidence going around.
It's insane, dude. That's what makes me think that there is just like a fundamental difference.
Yeah.
Like, because I in my brain, that just doesn't even compute. But there are people out there where it does for whatever reason. And it's something up here.
Well, I think either way, like on both sides, you're always going to have people who have that, like literally by any means necessary, even if it means cheating and fraud.
Right.
But it seems like the concentration is more on the right than it is on the left.
It's also Fox. They have a completely biased, non-objective feedback system that is telling them shit that, you know, whatever they want to hear.
Or like helping them rationalize why what they're doing is actually
It's like a famous
fine.
Person who starts surrounding themselves with yes men, they start losing touch with reality. Like that is the entire like conservative side of the country
now. And then look, your sophomore album is garbage.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's so rare to have a fire sophomore album.
Well, let me tell you something, man. For all the conservatives out there. You want some good conservative radio? Come on over to Culture Kings.
Yeah, yes. Make America
family
great.
Values.
Family
they talk about
values.
Church.
We talk about church.
They take you to church.
Ooh.
Racial drafts.
Right. Exactly.
I know you like that.
We like our racial drafts.
You guys love talking about race, right? The conservatives.
We love talking about those blacker folks.
So freshmen and progressives on Capitol Hill are starting to rally behind Ilhan Omar and basically backing her from these accusations of anti-Semitism that we talked about earlier in the week. And so there was this joint statement that was going to go out where the Democrats were supposedly going to denounce anti-Semitism and specifically like the timing. And it would basically be a official subtweet of Ilhan Omar.
Subtweet by resolution.
Right, by resolution. And now that other progressives and freshman members of Congress and black Congress people are voicing their concern over the kind of picking on Ilhan Omar that has been happening, they are changing the language to make it a blanket condemnation of all kinds of phobias and isms.
Yeah. It's really lost its teeth. And... I think Nancy Pelosi, it underscores a couple of things. One, that Nancy Pelosi does not have control of the party like she thought she did. And I think she's also realizing that the landscape is changing in terms of the public opinion around Israel and what the alliance between the two countries actually means, what Israel's place is in the Palestine situation and the just terrible things that are happening.
Right.
So I think she thought, like, if this were, you know, 5 years ago, it would be very easy. Like, oh, don't pull up. Don't give Israel that smoke.
Right.
Let's have this resolution. No. We our allegiance is strong. Our alliance is strong. But now she's starting to see that the cracks are really coming out. You have Kamala Harris, Bernie, Elizabeth Warren all coming out saying, I don't think this is necessary. Like, I support Ilhan Omar. Like, the crux of what she's trying to say has nothing to do with anti-Semitism at all.
Right.
And just saying it, you know, describing it for what it is. Yeah. And it's weird, too. Even on, like, the most left, you know, mainstream media, like MSNBC, there you can still tell, like, where that sort of centrist bend is, because everything is just talking about this substance of, like, well, people think it was anti-Semitic, and no real analysis past that. And I think what we're seeing is a lot of these new class and just the progressives in general that are in the House, they're willing to talk about these things now in an open way. And it's, yeah, now we're left with, like, this really weird, like, hey, all kinds of hate are bad, okay?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's the resolution. And mm-hmm. I don't know what that's gonna solve.
Yeah.
But, you know, good luck to you.
Is she not apologizing this time?
I mean, she,
I don't think she did. No. I don't,
not in the sense that, like, she's like, oh, I'm sorry for what I said. Like, all about the Benjamins one, she was like, I clearly see that that was, like, not a poor choice of words.
Right.
Yeah.
But I think now a lot of people, since people are coming to her defense and saying, you know, this has nothing to do with anti-Semitism. It's like kneeling, right?
Right.
Everybody wants to look at NFL players kneeling about the troops. It's like, no, they're kneeling because they're talking about police violence.
Right.
Okay. And this merely questioning Israel, the alliance between the United States and Israel, is not anti-Semitic, but that's the slant everyone wants to take on it to avoid the actual conversation is like, what are we doing? What's our place in this?
Right.
And is this worthwhile? Or do we need to actually be, if we're really the people who spread democracy around the world, should we use our influence to help these two countries?
Yeah. And another thing, detail that I feel like is missing from when I hear people talk about this, the people who are, like, quote, centrists about it and are like, well, why doesn't she just stop talking about Israel? And it's like her statement was kind of a ongoing thing. Like, I don't see why it's wrong for me to talk about our, you know, relationship to another country, basically, because of this first thing. So it's not like she's just, like, happens to keep saying these things that, you know, it seems like there is a concerted effort to.
You know, what's interesting for me with this is how. Like, there's obviously a clear divide between both sides, right? Left, right. And a lot of times on the left, a lot of the things we condemn the right for, you will see that we also do to ourselves, right? I think I saw a tweet or something that said, if you ever want to understand why people on the right, like, defend Trump and can't see what he's doing and blah, 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 go talk to your left-leaning friends about Michael Jackson and R. Kelly, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it's the same fucking thing. And like, this whole, like, the infighting within, everybody will say, well, I can't see you brought up a good point. I don't see why they're making the kneeling about the flag when it's about this.
Right.
But then we turn around and do the same exact thing.
Right.
And it's just remarable. Sometimes I think, I could be wrong or it's just my opinion. But I think that it's almost like you're shooting yourself in the leg every time. Like, you have this one argument for one side.
Yeah.
And you turn around and do it. And it's okay. It's not okay in any facet.
Yeah.
Right. And that's why a lot of this is disappointing to me, because it just shows you that we only have but a lot of times we have the moral high ground only when it's something that we vehemently don't believe in.
Sure.
Yeah,
for sure.
It's crazy. It's crazy.
Well, I think, you know, hopefully Nancy Pelosi hopefully she can start seeing what's going on in the country, too, because we're not in an era where people are not aware of what's happening or are unwilling to even have meaningful debate or discussion around it.
Yeah.
That era is clearly is coming to an end.
Right. Yeah.
And so
there's nothing wrong with pushback from within the party.
No.
I mean,
no, like, yeah.
The media likes to, you know, react to Democrats having internal, you know, conversations and discussions and back and forth as like this is a story of the weakness of the Democratic Party. And it's like, gotcha. No, actually, it's a story of the strength of the Democratic Party. Like they are not just a monolithic unit taking orders from Mitch McConnell on whatever the fuck he wants them to do and Fox News on whatever is going to make their base most outraged.
Progressives will
Speaking
raise
Speaking of which.
What?
So, yeah, I finally read that Jay Mayer article on the relationship between Fox News and President Trump and the White House. And Bill Shine, who was Sean Hannity's main executive producer. Hey guys, it's Miles and Jack in the future. Just cutting in here real quick. We're about to talk about Bill Shine.
Yeah, the White House communications director and former Fox News bigwig.
Flunky. Roger Ailes flunky. But yeah, we don't normally, you know, come in to dance on anyone's grave. But mere hours after this episode went live, Bill Shine announced his resignation.
The episode comes out.
Uh-huh.
Then 2 hours later, Bill Shine resign?
Yeah, maybe we should just leave that there.
You hear that? That's me patting myself on the back.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so that's how we get down. We are the sunlight.
Zeitgeist coming for you, Shine. All right, and now hear what we actually said about him. Being paid $8 million a year by Fox.
What?
Yeah.
He's still getting a Fox check?
Still getting a Fox check.
Oh, I didn't. Whoa. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah.
Was he like on the board or something?
I think it's still to do with his initial agreement, but it's, you know, people are asking questions like, yo, how is that an okay thing?
Right.
Wow.
But yeah, I mean, the ultimate point of the article is to communicate something we've been talking about for a long time, Jane. Get up to speed. But just how unprecedented it is. Like, it's, I think people take for granted that, you know, Fox is on the right and the rest of the media is on the left and like they
on
kind
the
of
truth.
Right. And they kind of see it that, well, I don't know about on the truth. A lot of times.
Yeah.
They get
truth
shit.
Adjacent. More
right.
truth adjacent.
They
yeah.
they do their both sidesism thing, which actually makes them wrong a lot of the time. But the ultimate point of the article is to communicate just how unprecedented it is to have a president with an unapologetic and highly effective propaganda operation.
Yeah.
But,
yeah.
Like, she's just like, the United States has never had this. This is incredible. Like, they are working together to craft a message that is directly, you know, good for their corporation, but mainly good for whatever Trump thinks will keep him in power. And their whole thing is, she just has a lot of quotes from people. I didn't realize it would be this like straightforward, but they like have reports of people being like, yeah, when I worked at Fox and Friends, the main thing that you keep hearing everybody say is what is going to outrage our viewer. Like, that's what that's their goal. That's
right.
The thesis statement of everything on Fox.
Jesus.
Is, so you're a propaganda wing designed to outrage the viewers, and, you know, you're going to create a lot of problems.
So they're the Game of Thrones of news.
Right.
Just outrage the viewer.
Yeah.
Keep them coming back.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I don't remember what Fox News was like during the Bush years, just because I was.
It was less.
I know it was less blatant, but also during his years, I was between the ages of 14 and 23 or something like that.
It seemed wild at the time, but it was like, you know, still. It still didn't have a great commitment to the truth or anything.
Right.
But they still at least put up a veneer of, like, first of all, a wall between politics and their quote-unquote journalists.
Right,
yeah.
So, like, Sean Hannity went to do one of his shows from a Tea Party rally, and Roger Ailes, like, basically called him back and admonished him and almost, like, suspended Bill Shine for allowing that because he thought it, you know, made them seem like they were doing the bidding of the Republican Party. And, like, he thought that was the worst thing in the world. And even Rupert Murdoch was like, we don't fuck with the Tea Party or any party for that matter. And
right.
But now it's just, it's, you know, Hannity goes on stage at a Trump rally and is like, I didn't know he was going to ask me up there, even though the advertisements for the Trump rally had were talking about Hannity being appearing on stage. So
it's crazy, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I just think it's not a like
it's an issue. It's a serious issue that's plaguing our system right
now.
Well,
yeah, it's an unprecedented political entity. Like, Trump should not be underestimated, because Trump is not just Trump. He is Trump and a huge and wildly effective propaganda wing that no politician in the history of the United States has ever had. And we need to, you know, be extremely careful and view the 2020 election as, you know, you're going up against a juggernaut that is incredible at making their audience angry. So no matter how bad he is at his job, when you look at the facts, that still doesn't really matter. That's not going
to... Do you think there is anything to course correct it? Like, what can course correct Fox News?
So...
If anything,
Rupert Murdoch's son is Lachlan Murdoch, is apparently wants to make it a more legitimate journalistic outlet, like it was kind of 20, 25 years ago when, like, when Hannity's show was Hannity and like Combs or some dude. Who was a liberal. And they were like, all right, Sean, what's your conservative take? And then they had this like really tiny
Alan Combs
weak-willed dude with glasses being like, Sean, you gotta
shut up, shut your ass up. Shut
and
up,
at the end of every episode, Sean would give him a swirly and,
and stone cold stun him,
say GOP rules.
But it's a really interesting article. They also look at the differences between how the right works and how the rest of the media works, and basically extreme right wing and extreme left wing media outlets like fringe crackpot outlets both make up news, and then the left, or, you know, the mainstream media basically shoots down the stuff that's not true and like won't let it. But Fox actually trolls those sites for
their
leads and then reports them out. And so they're like a megaphone for all the craziest stuff that people can make up on the internet. So yeah, it's a very interesting read. I highly recommend it. And there's also just a horrible bunch of stuff about Me Too shit and just sexual abuse by Roger Ailes and oversight by Bill Shine, who's the current comms director, who was the main dude hiding all this horrifying sexual abuse. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back. And we're back. And you guys, Star Wars World is coming this summer. They just announced it is going to open May 31st, both in Disneyland and Disney World. And Jaquise, you are
I'm a Disney
fiend. You're a Disney queen.
For the Disney.
Disney king.
Well, because I'm a fiend, let me correct you, Jack O'Brien.
Okay.
It's opening in Disney World on August 29th.
Oh, no.
At Disneyland, May something.
Okay,
May something. May 31st.
May 31st.
And it's called Galaxy's Edge.
Okay, Star Wars Galaxy's Edge.
But we can call it Star Wars Land. Here's the thing. I am not, I think I've been on this podcast on record saying I'm not a Star Wars fan. As far as, and by that I don't mean I don't like the movies. I'm just not a
You're not
fanatic.
Reading the technical journals like I was in middle school.
Yeah, I'm not a fanatic. With that said, man, it's going to be dope as shit when it opens. But if you are a fan of, you know, 3 feet of personal space, it's not going to be
dope. 3 feet, that's generous.
That's right, exactly, you know, because it's going to be busy as hell, dude.
Yeah. Especially Disney, between May and the August opening, because Disney World has, you know, a lot. We were talking about how much more space Disney World has than Disneyland.
So much more.
So when Disneyland's the only thing that people can get to, that's going to be a disaster.
Well, on top of it, it's going to be a global attraction. You know what I mean? Like, it's not localized to California and Florida. The Star Wars fanaticism is worldwide. And you know people are going to be descending from around the world on this thing, because it is by far... For any Disney fan, just like I had to stop reading about it because I didn't want to spoil it for myself, because it seems like the the level of detail that Disney is putting into this is going to be like unparalleled. Like they're even debating having what they call Earth brands represented in there. So it's like no Coke, but we got that blue milk.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. It's going to be, listen, if Disney does anything, they immerse you.
Right.
They immerse you into you are, especially if you go to Disney World, you are on the grounds of Disney World. You are in Disney City.
Yeah,
we talked about this earlier today, that Disney World in itself is twice the size of Manhattan, right?
Yeah, resorts, so I thought you were going to say or this morning that you were going to say it was twice the size of Disneyland. It's like
it's like 20 size of times of Disneyland.
Yeah, it's
twice not even
the size of Manhattan.
It's not even comparable. So here's the thing, that as a Disney fan, I'm a Disney fan, so I like Disney World. I like going to the Disney parks, staying on Disney property. And they raised their prices considerably already because Disney has taken on a lot of non-Disney properties. Even though they own them now, but they aren't Disney properties. There's Marvel, Star Wars, all that shit, right? And what's happening is a lot of the Disney fans are not so much getting pushed out, but the ones of us who are Disney fans with Poe, we getting pushed out a little bit because you're about to start getting a whole bunch of people who don't give a shit about Disney.
Yeah, right. They're there for the Star Wars. Like,
they're
fuck
there
Mickey.
For the. Yeah, they are going to be coming. And listen, if there's anything I know about Star Wars fans, even if they make $15 a year, they got money for Star Wars.
Right.
They will find money for Star Wars.
So Disney gentrified Manhattan already, and now they're going to gentrify Disney itself.
Right.
Disney itself.
They're gentrifying their own brand.
But this attraction, right, there's a Millennium Falcon ride where it's like...
Miles is not about any of this other shit. He just wants to talk about Millennium.
I have to talk with this galaxy.
It's going
to
be dope, dude.
It's fucking me up, though, because I love fucking Star Wars. Like like I said... I used to read technical journals that were like breaking down how to like an A-wing bomber was built or whatever, like schematics and shit.
Yeah.
And there's a ride where you can be in the Millennium Falcon, okay, and six people get on. There's two pilots, two engineers, two gunners, and you're like controlling the motherfucking Millennium Falcon.
And let me tell you something. For people who are ride fans, this ride is rumored to be about 27 minutes. Like it is not a ride. It
Miles
is
Miles just
a
left the room
experience.
With a bloody nose.
Yeah.
He did.
My ears are bleeding. Yeah. Also, just like in Harry Potter world, I don't know much about Harry Potter. I know there's like a wand store where you like your wand, you know, the whatever that fucking hat or some shit.
That's a
is
universal,
that
how that, right?
That's a universal, yeah.
Sorting
which is great.
Hat, wands,
yeah, sure.
I hate Butterbeer. Harry Potter, but
that
the Wizarding
is
World
dope.
Is fucking great.
Is it?
Yeah,
it
it's
is,
not bad.
I can only imagine if I was a Harry Potter fan how much I would have came in my pants walking in there because
I mean,
I'm
that's
not,
gross, but okay.
I mean, listen.
That's what I expect from Edgar.
Yeah.
I don't expect it from
cum shorts.
I'm sorry. Mark that.
Insider Culture Kings reference.
Yes, I apologize to all the Daily Zeitgeist fans out there, the Zeit Gang. But this Star Wars land is going to be, I'm going to love it.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to go for the first, like, 6 months.
Years, even.
I'm going to love it.
They have a store where it's like a whole theme, right, where it's a guy who has a bunch of spare lightsaber parts.
Yeah.
And you can go in there and build your own lightsaber, okay? And they say, but the shit costs more than even a ticket to get into the fucking theme park. So watch me walk out of there with about $2,500 worth of lightsabers. Fucking 34-year-old man with all these lightsabers.
Man, let me hold $50, Miles.
Why, dude? I mean, I'm like starting a credit card just to do this shit.
Your Disney credit card.
The part of the image that's not that he's not describing is the people running after him.
When I run out with
when he steals.
The children and their parents running after him. Hey,
that's my kid's fucking lightsaber.
I didn't say I was paying for it. I said I'm just walking out with 25.
I'm walking out with it. Listen to the words I'm saying. Just stuffed down with the legs of my pants. I'm all walking rigid and shit.
Jaquise, as a Disney head, what are your top Disney rides at all the parks?
All right, so should I give top five rides and attractions? Number one,
wow,
is Fantasmic at Hollywood Studios at Disney World. There is a Fantasmic at Disneyland, but the one at Disney World is in a stadium that seats like 15,000 people.
It is,
yeah, And
meanwhile, we're like fighting over like who can you're stand fighting near a rope.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
Rope fence. Right.
Wait, what is Fantasmic?
Fantasmic is like a 30-minute light and water and fireworks show with all the Disney characters.
Wow. And like Mickey from, Stress's and Fantasia and shit.
Yeah, it's from the mind of Mickey Mouse from Fantasia. And it's going through all his like nightmares and dreams and stuff like that.
Damn.
It is, when I went to Disney World for the first time in 08, it is what hooked me to Disney. I've never seen anything like that before. If you've ever seen World of Color at California Adventure, did you? I know you guys said you went to that recently. It is like that on cocaine.
Okay.
So it is a magical thing. So that's number one.
So maybe hold off, bring my kid to that.
Right. Don't give him cocaine.
Until he's tried coke. Once
Try coke a couple times and then take him to
that. I know you're ready for this Disney attraction.
It is truly magical.
Number two.
Oh, what? You know what? I got to go the original Tower of Terror at Disney World.
Okay.
It is just beautiful. It's different ride. You like go through the hotel on the ride as opposed to the one that used to be here, which is up and down, which was great.
Yeah.
Still loved it. But that is my love.
It's number three.
Number three is going to be the Cars ride at California Adventure.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
No, I just saw it and I was like,
it's a long line.
I'm going to keep drinking this wine.
No, it's a great ride.
That was the one that...
Radiator Springs or whatever it's called.
Yeah. So Cars World or Cars Land is really cool. Me and my son spent most of our time, and we didn't even, because he's too young to like want to wait in lines, we didn't really go on many of the rides, but just like it's such a cool place. Like we got to like watch the cars like driving around, and just it's like an experience without waiting in lines.
Yes. What's number four?
Number four is going to be Duel.
Duel?
It's going to be a Duel thing.
Oh, okay.
It's going to be two. They're in two different parks, but I kind of view them as something that you should do in both. You gotta go to the world in Epcot, which is 11 different countries.
Yeah,
where everything in those countries is authentic with quotation marks,
right,
to the country they're in. Like everybody who works in that country is from that country. All the cuisine is
made from
the people who live in those countries.
They
and things like
it.
That. You can like drink around the world and stuff like that. It is truly, you can spend a day in Epcot. At that,
someone needs to take me to Disney. I've never fucking
Disney
been.
World.
It's fucking, I'm like feeling.
Like,
I went there
when I was like seven, and I still remember the Epcot
dude.
Worlds. Man,
it is
because
Epcot is like two different parks. You got the Futures part of Epcot, and then you got the Worlds part of Epcot, and you got like Japan, Africa, Italy, Germany, like just all these, and everything is just so authentic. The shopping.
Right.
You know, it is really fucking dope.
I'm guessing they made it more authentic since when I was
there. It's super authentic. Like, literally, everybody from the people who are picking up the trash are from the country.
Yeah.
That
didn't used to be that way.
Yeah. It's pretty dope. And then the other part of that is the second part of Animal Kingdom, which is the safari.
Oh, right.
Which is a true 30 minute is not that long, but it's a true safari where these animals are literally just roaming around freely.
That's in Disney
World. That's at Disney World. And the safari of Animal Kingdom is bigger than all of Disneyland.
Jesus.
It's insane.
I don't think I should go to Disney World. I'm glad I was raised on this
back to Southern
fucking
California.
Broke boy Disneyland.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number five for me.
You better say Dole Whip.
Dole.
Number five, Dole Whip.
Give Disneyland one.
Give Disneyland something. Probably the Avatar ride at Animal Kingdom. Avatar ride at Animal Kingdom and the Passage of whatever it's called. It's always like a 4-hour wait, but if you fast pass it, it's one of the best rides you'll ever ride in your life. Or Disney Springs, which is downtown Disney World.
If someone works at Disney World, please try and sponsor a trip for us to come down there.
Yo, listen.
Act as if I'm a sick child who just wants
just
to know the magic
that
of
Miles
Epcot.
Is a sick
They're
child.
Like, dude, this dude looks
making a wish.
Fucking balding 34-year-old man in here.
Let me tell you
stealing
something.
Lightsabers.
Let me tell you something. Where iHeartRadio at? iHeart. If you sponsor a trip with me and Miles to go to Disney World, we'll produce an 8-episode Disney blog.
Oh, I love it. Great partnership. And look, it'll bring more people of color to the park. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Outreach.
And let me tell you, man, people will listen to that. Oh, people will listen to that.
Oh, yeah.
If no, we should definitely bring a little microphone. I'm like, yo, what the fuck?
Yeah.
How's that shit floating?
Yeah.
The Avatar thing.
We should just make it a mini series.
Yeah.
All right, well, takes you to Disney World.
I do it.
Opens my third eye.
Yeah. And Disney's usually cool about taking video and media inside, yeah, right, exactly. Inside their parks, right?
So, you got to sneak the zooms right, in there. You can't be having cameras.
We'll have that like lightning cable microphone so we can use our cell phones as the recording.
We'll figure it out. Jaquice, it's been a pleasure having you, man.
Oh, my goodness.
As always, where can people find you?
As always, you can find me in these streets, y'all, or at Jaquice Neal on everything. In these main streets.
How are you spelling Jaquice?
JACQUISNEAL on all social media. And, of course, Culture Kings every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday with Edgar Montblazier.
Check it out, guys. And is there a tweet you've been enjoying?
Ooh. You know what? Let me tell you something, man. Black Twitter is a blessing. What they've done... It's not just any specific tweet, but what they've done with just like the minute of content from that R. Kelly interview.
With Gayle King, yeah.
It's just been so delightful from a very undelightful situation. But the whole, man, y'all need to quit playing. Quit playing. I ain't do this stuff. I'm fighting for my fucking life. Man, all the tweets who've just used
reappropriated
that and reappropriated has made my week, and it shouldn't like, but you know, they take that shit and spin it into gold as much as they can.
So the one thing I was like, wow, they ain't shit for that is when they retired the Michael Jordan crying face and replaced it with R. Kelly.
Wow,
let's at least one guy just maybe caused the death of his father.
Right. Just maybe. His father's rolling in his grave from that. And here's another one. So LeBron James passed Michael Jordan in points and stuff like that. And my man...
The ringer? Are you talking about the ringer one?
I don't know. Well, is it from King Josiah 54? Josiah Jones or Josiah Johnson. He always does these videos where he does voiceovers of just different basketball things. So he did one of once LeBron passed up Michael Jordan as Michael Jordan. Here it is right here.
What's Gucci, Bron? This the GOAT. Just wanted to congratulate you for passing me on the all-time scoring list. On March 6th, no less. Also known as LeBron Day, because 3-6 is your finals record, in case you forgot. And I just want to say one thing to you. Fuck them points. 6 rings, nope.
So shout out to King Josiah 54 on Twitter. Funny dude, go follow him.
Miles, where can people find you?
Find me and follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Miles of Gray. Let's see. One is from at Professor Doye. Doye, you know how he gets down. He says 50% of people get divorced. So if there's two of you, look out. This is a great one. And one more from Reductress. It says, woman's walk of shame actually feels excellent because she just banged. So yeah, shout out to you, Reductress.
Yeah, yeah.
Also, you can catch me on the second part of my appearance on the wonderful Behind the Bastards podcast with Robert Evans, where we're talking about Trump University. And look, if you want to see another dimension of salesmanship, listen to this podcast because it's a doozy. A
couple tweets I liked. Oh no, she twittent tweeted, tomorrow is International Women's Day. Don't forget to put period blood on your doorpost tonight so the angel of mansplaining passes over your house. And Katie Stahl tweeted something that I happen to agree with. At Katie Stahl tweeted, rewatching Game of Thrones, and one thing that really stands out is that Ned is hella dumb. I was too busy rooting for him the first time around to notice. That is very, very true. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes. We link off to the information that we talked about today, as well as the song we ride out on Miles West.
This is from Angelina, Ethiopian singer, writer, artist, everything, Arima Edera. and the song is called Free Again. Good rhythms, you know, to take you into the weekend. Get free, y'all, and, you know, enjoy your weekend.
All right. We're going to ride out on that. Have a good weekend, everyone. We'll be back on Monday. Bye. Bye-bye. We'll see some of you guys on Saturday
tomorrow
night. Tomorrow night.